Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right, with so many people traveling this summer, because we finally, you know, things have calmed down a little bit, you should know a little bit about your rights. So, Donald, this one's actually a little bit for you, too, because a lot of flights have been canceled, or in your case, a lot of them delayed. You have a lot of issues with that. Mm-hmm, under a new federal law, airlines that cancel flights are required to give you cash payouts, not vouchers, to customers who decide not to travel if they inconvenience their plans. According to the Department of Transportation, consumers are entitled to a refund if an airline made a significant schedule change or significantly delayed a flight. A lot of us think, like me, I didn't know that I had to take the voucher. You get an email, you click, and you're like, okay, here's your, you know, your money back, quote unquote, because you can use that flight later. Well, we don't need to take the voucher. We just have to call the airline to get the money back. I did not know that because I was always told that you could only get the voucher. Like, you could not actually get your money back, but you can under a new federal law. Just an FYI.
Yeah, there's a girl on Instagram who's like a lawyer.
The chick that tells you, okay, so here's another thing, because in that video, she states that, like, if your plans are messed up, that they can pay for your, like, hotel and all this other stuff. According to the federal law, that is not true.
What is her name? The girl on Instagram who does all that legal stuff. She's like a lawyer.
Yeah, she's a lawyer. I will check because my friend sent it to me.
Yeah, she's does, really like, good. All kinds of, like insider airline hack kind of moves, right?
Well, not just that. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of airline stuff, but she just does a lot of hacks in general.
She does,
you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I need to know who she is then. Maybe I'm talking about somebody else.
I know her face. I just don't remember her name.
Yeah, I will find it.
Erica, maybe?
You know what you're saying, though, Laura, about how, like, the airlines now need to refund your money?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, how, like, you've got miles with an airline, and then all of a sudden, I just got an email the other day from American Airlines.
Okay.
And I don't have a lot of miles with American Airlines, but I've got some.
You got
and they
enough.
They sent me this email that said, hey, your miles are going to expire if you don't use them.
Oh, yeah. I got in that from airlines.
Founder, too. Erica Kohlberg.
Oh, damn. That was quick. Yeah. I'm over here
that
going.
Was quick. What's her? How do you spell her last name?
E-R-I-K-A. N is her middle name, I would imagine. Erica N. Kohlberg. K-U-L-L-B-E-R-G. She has 3.9 million followers, dude.
Wow.
And all she does give that, like, advice, you know,
not who I was talking about. Now she's got 3.91 million followers.
Yeah. So
Cappy just joined the team.
Well, here's the thing. So back to this thing. So have you guys ever had this experience where your miles are about to run out if you don't use them?
Yep. I lost my miles.
So I went.
Well, I've never lost my miles.
So I clicked on the email the other day, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to lose these miles if I don't use them. What do I do with them? And they told me, though, that you can use your miles for things other than just flights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Okay, depends on the airline, depends on how you got the miles and all this other stuff.
I didn't realize I could use my miles that I'm not going to use on the airline for, like, hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to try and do. I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to really do it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know I have problems with stuff like this.
That's true.
Yeah, you definitely have problems, I know.
You are very
yeah, but these are problems, George. That you know, this is the kind of stuff where I really struggle. Yeah, this is where I really, really struggle. You know, like okay, I've got these miles, they're gonna expire. I know I can use them for things other than flights. I'm planning on doing that, and then I never do it, and then I lose the miles.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
no, I realize that you're not. I mean, it's just the way.
No
I'm
one
not.
Should be surprised that you do anything that like ends up.
Have you done your diet correctly already? Second day.
Nope. No, but my exercise. See, I've taken my exercise up. Now that I've taken my exercise up, now I'm going to be motivated to start watching my diet more carefully.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True. You'll see. I think. I hope.
All right. That is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. That's the 90 minutes from wherever you are. So Ariel Helwani is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. We will chat with him about what went down in the UFC this weekend. And he does a great character on his podcast, The MMA Hour, where he turns into Ariel Helwani. And we feel like Bergman needs to toughen up with Mason in Ireland a little bit. So he's going to teach Bergman how to be a heel. All right, we're gonna kind of give him, clue him in on the Bergman Mason in Ireland issue, let's call it. And he's going to provide some advice for Greg Bergman. In the interim, Cappy, so here's the deal.
Tell me.
So Sportico, who is one of these like sports business journal type of publications, and they have a story today about how the Big Ten, which is where UCLA and USC are going to now, could potentially add some more of those teams from the Pac-12 because they can potentially kick out some of their current members.
See, listen, that's what I'm getting at, George, is that when you are the Big Ten and you're strengthening yourself by adding USC and UCLA, when you look at what's left in your conference, obviously Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan and Michigan State, these are schools you want to keep around. And while you may tell me that Indiana has basketball tradition, that's true. They do.
Well, Indiana's not leaving the Big Ten, though.
I'm not saying they are. I'm just giving an example that they've got basketball tradition, but they don't have a good football program. And looking at, like,
I don't know, but I mean, last year they didn't, but they were pretty good like 2 years ago, weren't they? Didn't they get, they got to like a big time bowl game.
They had one kind of year where they did have like a pretty good run at things. But listen, that's like, you know, that's like for example, Purdue has a good football tradition. They've got a good basketball tradition. But when you think of the Big Ten, you think of Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State. You're not necessarily thinking about Purdue. Or here, look, better examples. Rutgers, Maryland.
These are
schools that joined late. You know, they came from the ACC and they joined late.
Even Nebraska is weird there.
Nebraska is very strange there. So listen, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, maybe Illinois and Indiana. These schools are fine, I would guess. Minnesota maybe even. But schools, like, if you're trying to get better, why do I have to keep you, Maryland, or keep you, Rutgers, or keep you, I'm just using as an example, Purdue or Northwestern. Why do I have to keep you guys? When we're going out, we're getting USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal, Washington, and Oregon. Why do I have to keep you guys? So yeah, I'm trying to strengthen myself by kicking out the lower-end guys and improving by going and getting their best guys.
Yeah, I think Maryland and Rutgers would be out. So if you include UCLA and USC in the Big Ten, that makes it 14 again. And there'll be two more schools that they would add. And now, if I were picking just Pac-10 school or Pac-12 schools, I would pick Oregon and Washington over Stanford and Cal. And I know you're talking about the San Francisco TV market, but those two schools don't generate that kind of love in the Bay Area. I'm telling you, they don't.
Well, I've been to many Cal football games. Now, not in the last couple of years, but there were times where Cal football was really, really good. They've had some really great players come through their program. By the way, there was a time where Cal basketball was good, too. Not that they are now.
Yeah,
I just think, though, that USC and UCLA are a partnership, if you will. And I think Stanford and Cal are kind of in a similar situation. And I think when the Big Ten looks at the schools in their totality, those two schools fit. I agree with Washington 100%. And Oregon, I think everybody would like to have Oregon, regardless of the TV market that they come from, because Oregon's got a big background, both in football and in basketball. And the obvious part of it is you're getting Nike and Phil Knight.
Right.
So, again, I'd be going after the best of the Pac-12, and that's it.
Here's what you need to do, because I just don't see Notre Dame paying their way out of the ACC contract. It's like the ACC contract is signed through like 2036 or something like that. Like, that's a lot of money even for Notre Dame. So, and by the way, you should have two other Western schools to make life a little easier on UCLA and USC for travel.
Sold. The question is, which schools are they going to be? Or
Washington, Oregon, done deal. Get it at it. Let's get it done. And kick out Maryland and Rutgers. It's over.
Okay. And maybe you go
Maryland
a little deeper.
Screwed this thing up. They had a great rivalry set up with in the ACC, particularly with basketball, with Duke and Carolina. They were always a powerhouse in basketball, and they've screwed the whole thing up.
Here's another quick question. Why is it that we're all consumed with this number 16? Why can't a conference be bigger than 16?
I mean, it could be, but 16 is nice and round and easy.
It is. But you know what? So is 18. So is 20.
No, 24. It's not. It's a lot easier if you're trying to do like some sort of like, let's say eventually these, and I think eventually this is where we're going to get with these conferences on football particularly, is we're going to get into like playoff scenarios. You know what I mean? Like within the conference. So I think eventually that's where we'll be, where we'll have 12 games and like a couple of like playoff games before they even get to the national championship game, because eventually the whole, you know, NCAA aspect of this is going to be out the window and the football conferences are going to end up doing their own thing.
Well, I wonder, you know, we're talking about this Big Ten situation because of USC and UCLA and trying to figure out who might actually join them. And if conferences will say to some of their lower end schools, like, we don't need you guys anymore. But like, if you're some of these other conferences, like the SEC as an example, you know, you went out and you got Texas and you've got Oklahoma. But let me ask you something. Do you need Vanderbilt?
No.
Do you need Mississippi State?
I mean, they are traditional SEC schools, so I think you do.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They are traditional SEC schools, but
Missouri,
if you're saying,
can get the hell out of there.
Okay, so there are programs that you might look at and go, you know what? I don't think South Carolina really adds the value that Florida or Georgia do, or that Kentucky, you know, what they mean to us in basketball. You know what? South Carolina, we don't need you. And then, if that were to happen ever, then you've got these other schools from these other conferences that would just beg their way in to the SEC, whether they'll win anything.
I think the SEC will eventually add Clemson, Miami, and Florida State for sure at some point.
And then here's the big problem for everybody else. And this is, if you went to a school, if you care about your college team,
yeah,
and your team is on the could be left behind list.
Right. Like your school.
Like my school. True story. Pitt. Like yeah. My Pitt Panthers. You know, I hated when Pitt went to the ACC, and I would love for Pitt to have long ago gone to the Big Ten. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm on the my school could be left out and we could be screwed list.
Yeah.
It's a bad place to be, pal.
Yeah, it sucks to be you. Yeah.
And it doesn't just suck to be me. It sucks to be everybody like me.
Yeah. Well, there's that, too.
I mean, man, oh, man. It's like, what's going to happen here? It's like, are you kidding me? Like, am I going to not be part of all of this? Is it possible that if you're a Stanford football alum, you're like, wait, Stanford's not going to be associated with the four major conferences?
Well, so Sports Illustrated literally in the last 20 minutes just reported that the ACC and Pac-12 are discussing a partnership with ESPN about like creating some sort of super conference TV network kind of thing where they'll play each other. A handful of, you know, there'll be some cross conference matchups. There'll even be potentially a championship game between the two conferences before you even get to. It's what I'm telling you. This is going to become a playoff system. There'll be an ACC and Pac-12 championship. Then the winners of that will play each other, and then that will give them a potential boost to get into the Final Four. All that stuff is happening, and the NCAA is going to be left out. Watch.
Well, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem with the NCAA being eliminated, you know? I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. But, man, listen, can we just have this part of the conversation? USC and UCLA legitimately shocked the world.
Oh, my God. Listen, I told you this when it happened. This thing, when Texas and Oklahoma happened, it was a big deal. There's no question about it. This USC move, particularly with UCLA, is the biggest move in college football history. Not even debatable, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, listen, just to go and keep this under wraps.
I mean, even Bergman, you would admit, USC is the card-carrying holder of West Coast football in college football.
Absolutely. They are the biggest thing there is.
If they're good, the West matters. If they're not good, nobody pays attention.
Absolutely.
And by the way, the evidence of that is that when Oregon is really good, people are like, yeah, okay, great. They got nice uniforms.
Yeah, they're cool.
You know,
exactly.
I like those silver helmets. Those are cool.
UCLA tried for a little while where they were trying to be that team, and it still didn't work. It didn't matter. It needs to be USC. Just
although
like UCLA in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, Oregon will, you know, Oregon just needs more. Oregon just needs more time. Like, they, you know, USC's been around for 80 years dominating college football and
being the team to carry
the torch on the West Coast.
But Oregon can never have what
USC
has.
No, they'll never be SC because they're not in L.A.
That's the key.
I get that.
That's the key. So they'll never have that unless Oregon plans on being like the Chargers or the Raiders and they decide we're going to move. We're still Oregon. We just happen to move to L.A.
What are you talking about?
We're a satellite campus in L.A. now. So we're the University of Oregon at Los Angeles.
Remember us and Oregon State,
we're moving together. We're moving to L.A.
Remember when the Angels were the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
I do. Now they're just the L.A. Angels, as if everybody just accepts the fact that they're the L.A. Angels.
Right.
When most of us still really call them the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah, they're not really in L.A. All right, Ariel Helwani, a.k.a. Ariel Helwani, is going to teach Greg Bergman how to be a wrestling heel on Mason in Ireland. That's coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Sedano and Cap, he's the best in the business at covering mixed martial arts. Friend of the program, friend of mine specifically. Ariel Helwani, make sure you subscribe, download, and listen to his podcast, The MMA Hour. It is the best MMA podcast there is, of course, because he's the best in the business of covering MMA. Ariel Helwani, how the hell are you?
My old friend, George. I thought you'd forget about my entrance music. I thought you forgot all about me. But here we are, reunited, and it feels so good. Back on ESPN Radio LA. My old stomping grounds. It feels good.
So, Ariel, do you know Cappy, my partner here, Scott Kaplan?
Of course, my fellow Jew. How are you, sir?
My Hebrew brother, what is going on? Vosmachsta, how are you, my man?
Oh, all good. Good Shabbos. Mensch of all menches, Mr. Scott Kaplan over there. It's good. You know, I thought you guys forgot about me. I thought I offended you. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. So when I got the text last week, little short notice, you know, I had to break the news that we were just slammed over there in Las Vegas, and I just finished up my show, and I said, no, of course, I have to be on. So here I am with bells on. Great to be back.
Okay, now we have two things we want to discuss with you. So obviously we want to talk about the pay-per-view this weekend, but we also need you to toughen up Greg. I'm going to need to talk to, you know, in a few minutes, I'm going to start with Ariel Helwani, but then I'm going to pivot later to Ariel Helwani. Is that okay?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Trust me. No one loves Helwani more than Helwani, okay?
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So let's start with the pay-per-view. Let's work our way down with Israel Adesanya. Look, he wins that fight, but it just never feels like people are happy with him. Like, he's got this kind of Floyd Mayweather thing where he's such a tactician. He doesn't take chances. He doesn't make mistakes. And it just feels like, for as interesting as his entrances are historically, his fights tend to not be as interesting. And I love it because I love just the tactician aspect of it. But why is it that no one seems to love his fights?
Well, look, they didn't love the last one, and they didn't love the one from this past June, like a year ago. The one in the middle, Robert Whittaker, I thought was pretty darn good. And you have to appreciate who he's fighting to truly appreciate what he's doing. And yes, everyone loves the knockouts and they love the finishes and the submissions and the flashy stuff. And I think part of the reason why the fans are a little hard on him is because when he came into the UFC, he was giving us all of that. And so I think a lot of people were like, oh, this is great. We want more of it. But as you know, the higher you go up the ladder, the more money you make, the more there is at risk and the less you want to take chances. And honestly, I don't think Jared Cannonier is getting enough of the blame here. Like, I criticize him as much as Izzy, if not more. Izzy's the champ. Bring the fight to him. You want what he has. You want his belt. You want his spot. You need to bring the fight to him. Izzy's a great counter striker, so he was probably waiting for that. And it just never happened. It never materialized. The other thing that I think people tend to forget is that, you know, 2 years ago, he moved up to 205, and it didn't go well. He's a 185-pound champion. And sometimes when you lose that fight, even though he didn't get knocked out, he did get beat fair and square by the then-champion Jan Błachowicz, you don't want to really feel that loss again. And so that could change you a little bit. I think, though, his next fight against Alex Pereira, which we all expect it to be that, will bring out the old Izzy, and people will be very happy. But honestly, I feel like people are making a lot out of this, and it's not really fair to him. He's given us enough great fights. And also, as you know, sorry for being long-winded here, I'm just so happy to talk to you. There was a time where people were criticizing Anderson Silva for a good stretch, and now fair. No one remembers that anymore. So these things happen.
Okay, so Ariel, I'm going to make an admission here. I didn't watch the fights this weekend.
Perfect. Perfect.
So, and I'm glad you said the word perfect. Here's why. You ready for this? Because what I really wanted to talk to you about today, and George will come back to fighting because we're going to ping pong together like this. Dude, your Buffalo Bills are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl? Like,
oh,
somebody
my God.
Get me
here
to football season already, will you?
You opened up the box.
That's right.
I don't feel comfortable if I'm being honest about all this. I like when my Bills are the underdog. I like when people are sleeping on them. I love when they creep up on you. Remember, they were one of the favorites. I don't think they were the favorite going into last season, and then they stumbled right out of the gate against Pittsburgh. Horrible week one performance. I think they got punched in the mouth and came back down to earth. Now, I do think that the sting of the loss in Kansas City, which I still think about all the time, and I maintain till this day, I'm sorry I'm talking to a Los Angeles audience, but if they win that game at Arrowhead, there was no chance they were losing the Super Bowl. They were going to whoop the Bengals at home, and then they were going to beat the Rams at home as well. There was no chance. In my heart, I will believe till the day I die that they would have won the Super Bowl, and that's what makes it so tough to, you know, to come to terms with. Yes, they're the favorite, rightfully so. Thank you very much for Von Miller, Josh Allen. Another year, you know, wiser, another year better. Most of the core is back. I'm excited, but if I could just say, like, I just expect the worst. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Scarred
I'm not
going to
puff
fan.
My chest out too much. Yes. Scarred Bills fan, Knicks fan, Expos fan. I mean, I'm just a tortured fan.
Ariel Helwani, the best in the business of covering MMA, is a tortured fan, as you hear. You mentioned favorites. Alexander Volkanovski was the favorite against Max Holloway. Look, I just think, I know Volkanovski said he didn't fight his best fight the last time they fought each other. I thought he dominated the last three rounds after kind of feeling him out. But this thing, I mean, this wasn't even competitive in my estimation. What is next for someone like him? He's been so incredible in this run that he's had.
Oh, and I'm so happy he's finally starting to get his due because he's won 22 fights in a row. He hasn't lost since 2013, and that loss was at 170 pounds. He's fighting at 145 pounds. And, you know, he's a former rugby player. Like, the guy has really reinvented himself, and he's an absolute beast. And honestly, some people say it's a hot take. I don't think it's a hot take. I would put his resume up there with the great Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I think he has had a tougher UFC run than Khabib. That tells you just how good this guy is and how highly I think of him. The thing is, right now, 45 isn't the sexiest. There aren't a ton of big names out there. You know, fighting Holloway three times is great. But right now, there isn't a surefire thing. And he has talked about going up to 55. I don't like it. I like to see dominant champions who reign supreme for many, many years. Look what happened to Izzy. He goes up to 205. He stumbles. He comes down. Maybe he's a little more, you know, cautious afterwards. I just say keep lining them up, and someone will emerge. A foil will emerge. The more he wins, the more money he makes, the more popular he gets. So he's hinted at wanting to go up to 55. I would advise against it. There are names out there like Josh Emmett, like Arnold Allen. Yair Rodriguez is fighting in 2 weekends. There's always going to be names. But right now, there's not like a surefire name.
All right, Ariel, remember, George and I are going to play a little ping pong here with you. I didn't watch
great.
The fights.
This is great. This
here
is great.
And then George and I are going to meet in the middle.
If I were you, I would have faked it. But I appreciate the honesty. That's why you're a mensch.
Well, thank you. I didn't want to you know, fake it for you because I told everybody yesterday I didn't watch it.
Excellent work by Laura and Greg finding that ping pong sound you just played. Play that again.
Tremendous.
Yeah. There it is. That's high-level production here. That's
exactly what that is. Because really now we're ping-ponging. So now let me come back to you, Ariel, with something else. So I'm a Pitt football alum. You're a Syracuse alum. George and I have been talking a whole bunch about USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten. And what I'm worried about is my Pitt Panthers, your Syracuse Orange, we may be in that we're left behind group. What do you make of all this college football, college basketball realignment?
I hate it. I hate it. I mean, Syracuse should be in the Big East. Screw the ACC. It's always weird to me. Seeing them play like Duke and UNC in the ACC tournament, they are a Big East team. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to this stuff. I hate when they realigned it and everything got out of whack a few years ago. It's never quite felt the same. Georgetown is back, but they're gone. And I hate it. Those were the days. I mean, I was born in 1982, and of course, a little young for like the heyday of the Big East. But I know all about Lou Carnesecca and Villanova, Rolly Massimino, and John Thompson. Like, that's to me when basketball, college basketball, was at its finest. So now this stuff with you, like, that is just bizarre to me. I don't know what they're doing. They're ruining the sanctity of the damn sport, the sanctity of collegiate athletics, which has not been sanctified in decades, but we like to pretend like it's all pure and, you know, all this stuff, even though they're getting paid. At least now they're getting paid on the up and up as opposed to under the table. Yes. So I don't know. Can't be surprised, but I'm not a fan.
All right, last MMA question, and then we want Ariel Helwani to help Greg Bergman here.
Oh, yeah, let's go. I'm waiting
for it. Okay, just the requisite Conor McGregor conversation question. What do we expect from Conor here?
First quarter of 2023 is the latest that I'm hearing, so that could be January, February, March. There was some hope that he would return, you know, around this time. Too soon. It was a year ago, right, that he snapped the ankle. He's definitely training and getting into shape and all this stuff, but a little too soon. The latest that they're shooting for as of now is first quarter of 2023. So hopefully that comes to fruition.
All right. Now, let's do this. So we have audio. Now, Laura, you have the order I need to play this audio in, right? We need to play this audio in. You got that?
Yes.
Okay. So, Ariel, basically, Bergman comes on our show. Now, he produces Mason in Ireland these days, which he produced for many years prior to, you know, being the producer that Laura and I worked with when you used to come on the show very regularly. Before Cappy, you know, lied to you, you know, was around and was lying to you about, you know, or not lying to you about watching.
Oh, so
MMA.
That's why you don't have me on anymore. Okay. Perfect.
Well, I mean, Cappy doesn't really know MMA, but if he's going to just, you know, just tell you the truth, then, you know, we'll just have you on more regularly.
But just to be clear, I love it. It's just that this particular Saturday night, if I told you guys off air what was going on in my real life, you guys would be like this. Look, you go, no doubt you did what you did rather than sitting at home watching these fights.
Ariel, all I got to tell you is this. I don't know about your relationship at home with Mrs. Helwani, but, you know, Scott and his girlfriend, Rachel, they track each other on their phones.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Wait, you don't track your wife on your phone?
No, I don't. And honestly, when you said what you just said about if you knew what I was doing, I was like, golly, I want to know. Like, it's a good tease, but now I'm afraid to ask. I thought it was a good thing, but then George says the thing about the tracking makes me feel like it was a bad thing. I'm not sure where to go with this now.
All I can tell you is this. This is a conversation that if it happens off air and I tell you where I was and what I was doing Saturday night, you would say to me, I would have not watched the fights as well to do what you were doing. Okay. That's all. I'll leave it there.
All right. Fair enough.
Can you just tell me if it's a good thing or a bad thing?
It is something that every guy dreams of.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, now my mind is going in a million other places. I mean, I could throw some out, but I don't know if they're all, you know, G-rated.
Yeah. What rating would you give it if it were a movie, Cap?
Yeah, what's beyond R? What's beyond R?
NC-17.
What? NC-17.
What is this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Could we take this offline? I mean, now this is incredible
this
stuff.
This is, RL, this is podcast material, not radio material.
Okay.
You feel me?
Fair enough. Oh, my God.
There you
God.
Go. I think he's just pining for an opportunity to appear on the MMA Hour, which everyone listens
this
to.
I
tremendous.
Would break it all down, dude.
All right, so let's do this. All right, Laura, enough with... Katy Perry there. Let's go with
that was with excellent.
The Bergman sound here, real quick.
Laura.
Well, that is a good hint, is what I would say. That Katy Perry song. Let's just leave it at that. So anyway.
Oh my God.
All right. So Bergman comes on our show And he basically ripped the show that he normally is on, okay? And I don't think he was ripping them, like, to be mean. I thought he was just being honest. He had a moment of honesty, and here's what he said.
Well, this is the reason. It's because that's why I don't like having guests on them, because they just don't ask the great questions anymore. I'm sorry.
Wow, anymore.
Getting
wow.
cut up.
So, you know, he doesn't like booking guests on Mason and Ireland because, as you heard, he doesn't believe they ask the good questions anymore, that they get the best out of their guests. And clearly, we stirred the pot by reacting the way we did. So then, Bergman has to basically face the fire. But before he faces the fire, he's going to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, with his daughter on a vacation day. And it was not the happiest place on earth because he was off the show and everybody was tweeting him. Mason and Ireland were talking about him. Play the next cut, Laura.
Yeah, blanky.
So then Bergman got scared, yeah. is what you're saying.
Bergman said, I asked Mario to take it down. I haven't heard it, but sorry. It was supposed to be a play on the non-guest stuff, but I'm sure it sounded bad. Mario said he's taking it down.
Wait. Why did you make him sound like
Eeyore? That's because he's scared and he's, I'm nervous because my guys are mad at me and I'm at Disneyland with my daughter and I'm getting these text messages and I'm so upset about it.
All right. So, Bert, there was a promo running of said the thing you heard first.
I had never heard that, by the way.
He's never heard this.
Yeah. And then, so, they, yeah, you know, oh, you're hearing this for the first time.
For the first time,
now
yeah.
you may go
oh,
back at them tomorrow. Beautiful.
Oh. So we are now building up perhaps some resentment and anger, which is good for the heel turn eventually. All right. Now play the last cut of Bergman being a puppy dog apologizing to Mason in Ireland.
No, I think that's basically what happened. I went on with Sedano and Cap, and I just started spitting fire for some reason that I don't actually have an answer for. I don't know why it all happened.
That
I don't even know
the best answer. I don't know why I did it.
But no, well, at least it's honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was something. They didn't even push me into it is the problem. Like, normally Sedano and Cap are good
at pushing
me.
By the way, that makes it worse,
yes.
not better.
No. It doesn't make it better, especially not for me.
Yeah, so, you know, he was being honest, but also under, you know, he was remorseful in the same vein. So, now, I want you to toughen him up, because clearly, he feels a certain way about them. And then, he goes and says it on our show. Then, he's now festering. I could hear the anger gurgling inside of him as he heard that second cut for the first time. And then, you heard him in the final cut when he actually faced them face-to-face. And was somewhat apologetic. So what would Ariel Helwani offer as advice to Greg Bergman to make a heel turn and toughen up on the Mason and Ireland show?
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, just to be clear, is he here? He's not here right now, right?
Yeah, he's here right
now.
He's
right here.
I'm right here.
Oh.
What's up, Ariel?
Is it Mark?
Mason?
Oh, my God.
What's your first?
Greg
Bergman. I grew up in Montreal, and there was a famous radio guy named Mark Bergman, so I apologize for that.
I think that's his father.
probably not. Listen, first of all, how much time do we have? I know
we got all the time you want. Don't worry about it. Just go.
Okay, there's a lot here. First of all, I will just say, as someone, you know, who works in the biz, loyalty is a big thing. If my producer went on someone else's show and talked smack about me, it wouldn't sit too kindly over here, okay? Mm. That being said, you did what you did. So what I would have done if I were you was, you talked smack about them, you gave them a sort of constructive comment, and they came back and, like, you know, hit you with a 1-2. If I were you, I would have doubled down on the original comment. I would have said, guys, listen, you know, your fastball used to be 98. You're now throwing 85. There's only so much that I could do. And if you can't take the criticism, then maybe this business isn't for you anymore, all right? Ooh. I have to go on someone else's show and say to them in hopes of it coming back to you, because clearly you guys are way too sensitive. How do I know that you're sensitive? Because you're now making a whole big stink about the fact that I said you don't ask those questions. And guess what? I'm not the only one who feels this way. Mm. And so here I am as a great producer booking great guests for you, and you guys are fumbling every single time. It not only looks bad on me, but it makes the show weak. So I'm trying to build to your strength. But at this point, because you're throwing 85 at best, I can't produce a good show. So I have to go on someone else's show in order for you to get the criticism. And clearly what I thought was going to happened because you guys are too sensitive and you think you're still great, when in reality you should be able to take some constructive criticism. If you need me to write the questions for you, I'd be happy to write the question for you. But let's not turn this into a me thing. This is not a me thing. This is a you thing. You're the ones who aren't asking the good questions. You're the ones that everyone's saying have lost their fastball. So don't make this about me. Just because I told the truth, all right, sometimes, guess what, buddy? The truth hurts, or buddies. The truth hurts. So, yes, should I have said it to your face? Should I have said it in our morning meeting? Maybe. But did I want to deal with all this crying and whining and diva-like behavior that you guys have exemplified today? No. So I had to go to your other, you know, your colleagues and do it in hopes of it coming back to you. And maybe this will be a teachable moment for you, because guess what? I don't regret anything that I said, all right? Get better. Do better. And maybe I'll take it back.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
See, Bergman, that's how you do it.
That's a heel whiny right there.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what you don't do. I don't know why I said it. Come on. What was that all about? You went to the – I mean, is it unfair to call you guys competitors? I mean, everyone's kind of competing, right? But you're on the same team, but you're...
Oh, yeah, they're a little jealous that we're like the show on the rise.
Well, I mean, if you were going to score it, Ariel, it would be like 6-5, Sedano and Cap versus Mason and
Iron. So we had an award show for the station where we had 1,000 people paid like $25 to come watch our, like, we put on a show, like a live show and an award show style. And, right, our show won 6 awards and their show won 5 awards.
Wow, that's bragging rights. No, so
it's a big upset. It was an upset. It was an upset. Yes.
Yeah, Mason and Ireland, haven't they been doing this since like 1987? I mean, yesterday's news, let's be honest, like legends, but like, you know, like it's out with the old, in with the new. And it sounds to me like Bergman's trying to, you know, he's trying to cozy up to the new kids on the block. And he said what he had to say. The last thing I would have done was backtrack. Yeah. You know, can't backtrack in that. Do you believe it? Tell me right now. Do you believe what you said? Do you stand by what you said?
I think that Mason and Ireland are great radio hosts.
You're so full of crap.
No. Do they ask bad questions?
I think that they are great radio hosts.
When you book guests on their...
I don't book guests.
Whatever. He doesn't book guests anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. The way you said that with like all the like, oh, I don't book guests because you do something way more important than book guests. Guess what? I've been doing this for 15 years. I've booked every single guest who's ever appeared. So don't look down on people who book guests.
I don't look down on it.
Well, and okay. And like by the way, but it sounded like you did. And by the way, then didn't this all start with you saying the reason that you don't book guests is because they ask bad questions? Did I misread that?
That was what I said on the show the other day. Yeah.
But you didn't really mean that.
I am not getting myself into any more trouble. You're doing a great job of trying to push me into it, especially with the snake charmer Sedano over there. That's good.
Oh, yeah. So here's the other thing. So Mason, after all this was said and done, and Bergman, you know, kowtowed to them.
Kowtowed.
Laura, do you have the sound of Mason calling me a snake?
Let me pull it up.
Then Mason. So he chummied up back up to them. And then he got Mason to then take the shot at me, which is, of course, what he wants to do. He wanted to take a shot at me.
Can I ask a question before you play the clip?
Yeah, Sedano, so there's a separate clip here.
But wait, before you play, you're an old school wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
Is this a work or a shoot right now? Because if this is a shoot, like, we could go all – I'm just not sure. Like, this seems like some real inner office, like, drama, which I love.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I'm here for.
Yeah, it's a shoot.
A work or a shoot?
I would say it's a shoot.
Wow.
I think it gets played off as a work, but it's a shoot more, you know, I would say more times than not. So,
you know, it sounds like Bergman worked himself into a shoot.
So Bergman then cozies back up to them and, you know, grovels at their feet.
Well, this is groveling.
What you groveled. You were a groveler. You are a Mr. Groveler. Okay. Greg G. Bergman. Greg Groveler Bergman is your name now. So here's what Mason then said about me.
I mean,
yeah. And by the way, leave it to you and Sedano. Sedano's amping this whole thing up, too.
Well, of course he is.
He walked right into a trap.
That's where he lives.
I mean,
I did walk into a trap.
Sedano can be kind of a snake. He pulled this out of you during the show, and I do not.
I mean, I kind of did it myself.
There's no excuse for going on another show and trashing the one that you work with.
I mean, well, you agreed with the last part, but here's what I would say, Ariel, and this is where I fought back, and then our audience did a great job of doing Photoshops of me and Bergman, where I said, I'm not the snake here. Bergman is the snake. He's the one saying the stuff about you and then now all of a sudden freaking out because you're mad about it. I, Ariel Helwani, George Sedano, snake charmer.
I mean, there's a lot of snakes being thrown around. If you ask me, you're just the shooter in all this. You're just the one telling it like it is. It seems like there's a lot of people trying to backtrack, trying to sugarcoat, trying to say this, it feels to me like you're the only straight shooter in this whole operation.
Cappy too.
But I'm waiting to be tagged in so I can jump
right,
off the top
Cappy.
Ring
jump
rope.
In.
And
jump
I can
in,
just
Cappy.
Full
we got a couple
body
more
slam somebody. Yeah. I mean, that's just what I'm waiting for. But right now, George is controlling the entire situation, meaning he's by himself in a ring and he's beating up on everybody. So I'm over here just when he needs a little break, I'll just jump off the top ring rope if
you're
I have
waiting
to.
For the you're waiting for the hot tag. You're waiting for that moment when he comes over slowly, slowly, and then he tags you, and then the whole arena explodes.
Right.
But I want to back down from these guys. These guys seem like trouble, if you ask me. They seem like very sensitive. They don't like the fact that you guys won 6-5. They don't like the fact that there's new kids on the block that are stealing their shine. And it seems like they're taking everything way too seriously. And if I were you, I would just continue to ram it down their throat. Beat them with success. All right. I'm not impressed with their actions today. And I'm still confused whose side Burman's on, this side, that side. He doesn't want to, you know, own up to his previous comments, which I think he should have. He books the show. He doesn't book the show. There's a lot of things that he has to figure out, if you ask me.
Yeah. And by the way, Cappy and I are like the Rock and Sock connection. I feel like I'm the Rock, but I like to do
like the interviews, you know, like when there's an interview to be done, that's when I turn on my inner Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
So just let me know.
Oh, you know what?
Sort of like.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, I was just going to say, sort of like today's spot where you have the MMA guy on and did zero research whatsoever on the topic.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Exactly. Perfect. But he does do a somewhat halfway decent Dusty Rhodes impersonation. Would you like to grade it? Or would you like to hear it very briefly?
I would love to.
Go ahead.
Are you a Dusty Rhodes fan?
Hard Times, a son of a plumber. I know all about the American dream.
You want to do this together? Let's do a duet. Here goes.
No,
you don't know
you.
About you don't know about hard times, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times.
That's tremendous. Well done.
Yeah, there you go.
Like that?
Look at that, Cappy.
Like that?
You're getting applause from Helwani.
Wow. Hard times are when the auto workers can't pay their rent, and hard times are when a man has worked in a job for 30 years. 30 years. They give him a watch. They kick him in the butt, and they say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times.
Oh, that's that was great. Good. That
Ric
was
Flair,
really good.
You put hard times on this country when you took Dusty Rhodes out. I admit I may not look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My honey's just a little bit big. My belly's just a little bit big. But, brother, I am bad, and they knew I'm bad. And there were two bad people, and one of them is John Wayne, and he's dead, brother. I mean, I could just keep going on and on and on, Ariel.
Yeah. Now, did this make up
really
for
good.
The lack of preparation for the MMA segment?
1,000%. That was true. In my mind, I'm thinking, American dream. He's just the common man. You guys know that or no?
Absolutely.
You know,
of course.
I know.
Yeah. Well,
that was
Ariel,
the polka dot era.
Thank you for putting up with our nonsense. It was great hearing from you. We will have you on more regularly and just have Cappy do impersonations for you if he doesn't want to do the research.
Listen, anytime. You want to talk old Expos trivia, Dodgers trivia, we could talk Blue Monday. You want to talk about by the way, Bills Rams opening night. Of course, we have.
Definitely need to have you on for that. Yes.
You want to talk about that Benedict Arnold Berman? You want to talk about Laura? You want to talk about? We could talk about whatever you guys. We want to talk about how Frank Vogel got done dirty by the Lakers. We could shoot about anything you guys want. I will shoot about anything you guys want. But it's always a pleasure, and I really enjoy talking to you guys. And I just want to say, there it is.
I got you.
George, you're the man. I saw you doing some play. Are we doing play-by-play, Summer League?
I am, and I'm doing. I did some college football, some NBA on radio. It's been it's been fun. Yes.
Remember me and you and Vince Carter, 2019.
We did. You and I. We did it together. We worked together. Yes.
It was great.
You are the best in the business. He is the best in the business at covering mixed martial arts. Combat sports in general, I would say. Ariel Helwani, subscribe to his podcast, The MMA Hour, and check out all his work. Follow him on Twitter, at Ariel Helwani. Love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Thank you. Toughen up, Birdman.
Toughen up, Birdman.
Thanks, Helwani.
Birdman.
Yeah. I like that he switched you to Birdman now. Yeah. By the way, 7:10, All-Star Friday Night Bash, Wiffle Ball Bash, All-Star Softball Game. Join the party. West Covina Sports Complex. Friday. July 15th, caller number 5 right now, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776, gets a playing spot in our Wiffle Ball Bash, the Home Run Derby, and 2 tickets to the Capital One Play Ball Park in MLB Live in downtown L.A., July 16th through the 19th. It's the ultimate All-Star fan experience with something for the whole family. For tickets and info, visit allstargame.com, but caller 5 right now gets hooked up. So be caller 5 right now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come on, Cappy.
Hey.
Come on, you have to know who this is. This is like as popular an artist as there is in the world right now. Cappy, the voice.
Boy, you guys are asking me who this is?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it sounds to me like I know the voice.
Shazamming. All as we
I'm
speak.
Not Shazamming. I swear to God. I swear to God, I'm not Shazamming right now.
You just swore to God. So you know what happens.
Right. That's why I'm that's the level of I want to impress upon you that I'm not Shazamming right now, but the voice and coming off of my Hebraic Canadian hermano, Ariel Helwani.
By the way, Ariel Helwani getting rave reviews in the community.
People are loving him. They think he should be a weekly guest. I mean, was that Drake?
Yes, it was Drake. Yes. Okay. Did Shazam finally pop up?
No, for you? No. I'm telling you, I knew the voice. And come on, Laura, you play Drake because Ariel Helwani's a Hebrew brother from Canada, right?
I play Drake because it's a really good song. Ziggy is a really good song, and I liked when you guys.
Well,
were
and he is also
he is Canadian,
Jewish Canadian. Yes, like Ariel. Yes.
I thought that's why you played it.
No, but I had to play Ariel's intro song. I told George, I was like, I still remember.
So Bergman, how was that interview?
That was a very good interview from Ariel Helwani. Or Helwani, too. Both of them.
You mean he was good, or you mean like we were all good together?
I thought everybody did a very good job on their interview today. Even the guest.
I love how, you see, but that's how you go heel. And it would have been better, I think, if you went heel.
I think it would have been fun to go heel, but that would not have been the right choice.
But I'm going
to
tell you guys right now. I'm going to tell you something, though. This whole Bergman versus Mason in Ireland was the early leader in the clubhouse for beef of the year for the Mandy's.
Yeah.
But what we have just done is we've just taken this whole thing to another level. Because here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow on Mason in Ireland, you thought they were upset before. Wait till they replay all the things that Ariel said about them.
They're going to ban him, even though he's never been on the show.
Right.
They're
gonna be like, I didn't say anything in that, just so we're clear about all of this. And I said they did a good job. They were a great show. Wonderful people they are.
Can we laugh about the fact that Mason will ban him and he's never been on the show before?
I mean, that's brilliant. That is and if I were Mason, I'd do the same thing. Ban him. He's banned. I mean, absolutely. Tomorrow, when Mason and Ireland get a hold of this, and they hear the comment about, haven't these guys been doing this since 1987? I mean, out with the old and in with the new, and they're just jealous. I mean, all these things that, once again, what are you calling yourself now? The snake what?
Snake charmer.
When the snake charmer charms the snake, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Somebody gets bit.
Yeah. And I charmed Ariel.
Charmed him right into it, like a king cobra. Standing up, he got his body all flexed out. And then bite.
Can we cut up him going?
Yes, 100%.
I mean, George, if we really wanted to, between the two of us, I feel like we could do an impression of an entire zoo. Like, let's do a zoo tour where you, like, take us over to the bird section and you give us all your great bird sound effects. You know, that bird
taking off. Yeah.
That bird kind of sounded like my sound effect yesterday when Lindsay was throwing the axe in Vegas.
No, you see, mine is like I'm like, you know, use like an F sound where yours is going like TH.
All right, let me try it. Because when it hits the wall,
you're such an idiot.
No, it's true, dude.
You really are an idiot. But you're
in the meantime,
idiot,
poor Bergie, man.
No, let's stick to your bird sounds. I like those. Those are good.
Greg,
by the way,
guy.
I thought the greatest like under the radar diss was when he said when he dissed you for not preparing for the MMA.
Yeah, but what am I going to do? Lie to the guy? Good. I mean, what am I going to do? Like,
I mean, that was kind of funny. Well, but to his point, like a professional would have been like, let me just figure out two questions I could ask you.
I'm not doing that, man.
I mean,
you could have asked
him the Conor McGregor question. That's like very.
I could have been like, so Amalgam Magoff. I mean, that guy right there, I mean, what a knockout punch he had this weekend, right?
Habib Nurmagomedov.
And Ariel would have been like, what are you talking about? He wasn't even fighting.
Do you think Ariel just went like blacked out completely and just was a totally different person at that point? Like he woke up out of it afterwards and was like, I have no idea what happened.
No, he texted me back. He said that was really fun. No.
Ariel's amazing.
He was very good.
I know,
didn't
but
we
the
have
things
him weekly
that he said.
Before?
Well, not weekly, but there was a run regular. In the UFC where they were the only sport happening, remember?
Well, that's true.
During the pandemic, there was Fight Island, and they were fighting.
Fight Island.
Oh, my God, Fight Island. You guys competed with Keyshawn because of it, Greg.
I remember, yes.
Didn't you and Keyshawn?
For Fight Island? No.
Yeah, because they made a Fight Island 710.
Oh, we did
ESPN.
Like a fake thing of Fight Island and would win in Fight Island.
And I think Sedano pushed you into the whole Keyshawn.
Yeah, I made you beef with Keyshawn
by accident.
Yeah, it was Snake Charmer again. You know?
Oh, yes. Yeah. By accident. By accident, you made me beef with Keyshawn. Yes.
And then Bergman, Keyshawn.
Keyshawn was not happy about
What's
that.
What's the next big UFC fight that I can watch? And then when Ariel comes back on, I will be completely prepared. I will have watched the entire card. And I'm going to blow his mind by not talking about the main event. Or the co-main event.
Oh, you're going to go like the prelims?
Right. I'm going to find some random fight, you know, from the early parts of the fights. I'm like, hey, Ariel, how about that first fight that you probably weren't even watching because nobody was? It was a prelim. But how about that performance at Agogo's leg off?
He watches every fight. Okay. You don't become the best in the business at something by not watching everything.
All right. Well, I mean, next fight, let me know.
You know what I should have done? I should have fed you a question about like a fighter who didn't fight. In retrospect, that would have been hilarious.
Oh, that would have been
like the hardest name you could have possibly.
No, I
could have
just been like very simple. Like the Misha Tate fight was canceled on that card, and then I've been like, I should have just texted you, hey, ask him about the Misha Tate fight.
Oh, that would have been so great. Like all these kids that he didn't know about and he was making up schools and stuff.
Oh, Cap would have absolutely been like, oh, so I watched this whole thing with Misha Tate and it was fantastic. What do you think about it?
Yeah, this Misha Tate thing was really, I found it to be quite interesting. In fact, I'll go so far as to say fascinating. I know George thought the same thing. Ariel, what'd you think? And he'd be like, what in goodness God's name are you talking about?
He'd be
about?
Like, what? Misha Tate didn't fight. What are you talking about?
Oh, she didn't? Oh, my B. My B.
Oh, this is so great.
Poor Bergie, though. I'm telling you, Greg, I feel
for
you,
man. Why does it
come back to me? Well, only because here's what's going to happen now. Tomorrow, Mason and I are going to lose their minds. When they hear what Ariel Helwani was saying about them, and all
well, no,
of this
the
is,
guy Mike. What was the guy, the caller, Mike, and whatever, you know, we'll call back. And he's like, hey, did you hear what Ariel Helwani said?
Right.
Did you guys
hear
it happen?
Right. Did you hear the latest?
That's the snake right there.
No, but here's what's going to happen. Bergman is going to, he's going to say, like, Bergman didn't defend you.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be some other thing. There's going to be something else that's going to piss him off. And I'm going to have a whole nother thing. I'm going to have a sit down for 35 minutes being like, all right, so this is what we got to do. Got to work it out. Let's me and you work it out.
I think maybe, though, when they come back at you, maybe you should follow his advice.
No, probably won't.
I think you go heel, man. Just lean into it.
It would be fun.
flip the script. There you go.
I got
wow.
I forgot God. When I used to say that. Flip the script, Bergman.
Flip the script.
You're the boss. Come on, mini boss.
Wait, no, Kaplan, do that again.
Flip the script.
Show them who you are, mini boss. Flex those mini boss muscles.
That Koopa Troopa muscle?
Exactly. You're supposed to have a hard shell.
That's right. Oh, I do have a hard shell. That's why I can take all of this. Laura is fully dying right now. Can you hear her through my microphone?
What happened to Laura?
She's dying laughing. I don't know if I've seen her laugh like this in a long time. She's crying.
Oh, man. Oh, this show has gone off the rails today.
He produced us just now. He just said to rap.
Yes, rap.
Good producing.
Yeah.